Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended. Welcome to the podcast today. Today we are talking about feeling unappreciated and the impact of being the unsung hero and what to do about it. And so we are approaching this week's podcast a little differently. We have a guest, a very special guest, one of the beautiful participants of my Me, Myself and I Mastery program, who struggled with this issue a lot, but has since turned things around for herself, and the impacts of this have been huge. If you are new to my world, the Me, Myself and I Mastery program, also known as MMI, is my signature program. That purpose is to transform your life, taking you from where you are now to where you want to be. So over the years, the outcomes experienced by different participants have been epic. The MMI has been the catalyst to reigniting the spark in people's marriages, starting businesses, shifting careers, being open even to romantic relationships. Not to mention the more subtle changes that MMI has sparked, like being calmer, more present parent, feeling confident to use their voice, setting boundaries when they had none, and prioritising their physical and mental health and feeling the benefits. So over the past 6 months, I've been reflecting and working with the best in the personal development course creation business to optimise and refine MMI to make it even better. MMI is about to hit a new level. I can feel it with every fibre of my being, and I am super excited. And the doors open next week. So to get access to huge discount and increase your chances of securing your place, because we do cap the numbers, I'd recommend getting yourself on the wait list. The link is in the show notes. Now, let's get stuck into today's episode. Welcome, Teresa. It is a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, V. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Right. Let's have a chat about how feeling unappreciated felt for you. So how did it play out in your everyday life?
I'm really looking back to when I had my gorgeous little girl. I was at home on maternity leave for a year. So I finished up in my professional corporate world and stepped away from that for a whole year. And I said to my partner, yep, I'm going to do all the things at home, the cooking, the cleaning, the baby, the washing. I'll do all of that because I'm not contributing financially. You just worry about work and I'll worry about the rest. Which sounded fine at first, but that is a lot when you've got no other things going on. And then when I did go back to work, we never really talked about sort of balancing that back out. And, you know, you say to yourself, oh, I'm only working part-time. But, yeah, I was still trying to do all the things all the time for everyone.
Superwoman. It's such a tricky space for women, isn't it?
Yeah. And then also at work, I'm trying to prove myself and say, yes, I'm competent, I'm a professional, I can do all the things at work too. And I was putting in a lot of extra effort and extra hours. I had some new team and I had some new leaders in my department that had come in while I was away. So it was like, I've got to impress these people and show my worth. So yeah, kind of a recipe for mental health disaster.
Yeah, so what was the impact of that on the relationships in your life, on your family, on work? So, I mean, this is where you start off with this is your thinking, this is what it's going to look like, and then it all turns to shit. So, what's the impact? What started happening?
Oh, I would definitely get really overwhelmed. I remember just like, I just look around and see a pile of dirty washing, dishes need doing, we've run out of this, this, and this in the fridge. Oh, that's a trip to the shops. That just this to-do list was constant. And I just felt like it was just all me. Like, don't get me wrong, my partner was there. He's a very active, hands-on parent, but I just prioritized everything else. Everyone else before myself. And that would end in like I'd get triggered, I'd just get frustrated, overwhelmed, I'd get very angry, I'd yell at everyone, leave me alone. And I just felt like a horrible mum, like yelling in front of my daughter and her sort of being quite young, but you know, she that would upset her. And that just wasn't the mum that I wanted to be. And it was quite a journey to. Through the infertility to get our daughter. So I was thinking, I tried so hard and it was meant to be better than this. And I just wanted better for her. You know, I was like, this is not the mum that I want to be, and it's not the partner that I want to be. And sort of was a little bit isolated from my family and friends as well. And all this was with the backdrop of COVID. So that didn't help. It's very hard to build and rely on a bit of a village, as the saying goes, when there's, you know, rules about traveling. And so there was no family here to help. And it was just very hard. So yeah, I would literally blow up when it just got too much. And I just, yeah, that was the sort of like, yeah, there's a wake-up call there.
And this is where, you know, like it's safe to say at this point you wanted to turn things around. But what I wanted to mention here is that, you know, because this is the thing, sometimes people, the MMI program is going to be good for people who have never had therapy, but it's also good for people who have had therapy because you did reach out to me at this point. You'd been seeing me over the years for a number of various things, but in this instance, you were really tuned into something's not right, and you knew it wasn't right. And we would have a couple of sessions, and then it would be, yep, okay, no worries, I've got a bit of framework, this is what I'm going to do. And then you would end up in the same space. And that's when MMI came in. And so you signed up for the program. What was the outcome you were looking for when you signed up for MMI?
I just needed something to change. I thought I've put a lot of time and energy over the years into trying to better myself and be able to cope with things. And as sort of individual challenges and hurdles have come up over the years, yep, sit down with yourself, B, and talk through it and get over it. But this was different because it was like going around and around in circles and you know, that quote about doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. I was like, oh, that's what's happening. It was a very stuck sort of place to be. And I was like, I'm gonna try this. I wanna give this a go and see if I can get into a better space. So yeah, I was definitely sort of not at the end of any rope or anything, but in a place where something had to change.
Yeah,
Something really had to change.
exactly. So, just for our listeners at home, MMI is a 12-week guided small group therapy program. And it's a really transformative journey which bridges the gap between where you are now
and where you dream of being. Now, that can be a really, fluffy sales pitch there, where you dream of being. But honestly, if we just look at what you've just said, Teresa, I just didn't want to be where I was. It's a simple, I just want to stop doing this and do something else. And it's that bridge is as simple as it can be to go, okay, well, what does that look like? So I guess from my perspective, I knew that this program would be beneficial for Teresa at this point in her life because she had been actively working to change things, but we weren't sure what was happening. We just knew the same thing was happening, which means there was something driving more than this that she needed to unpack, and MMI was going to give her the time and the space to look underneath that. All right, but getting back to your experience, so reflecting on your journey in MMI, are there any standout moments or breakthroughs that were particularly impactful at that point in you, where you're in your life?
Yeah, so I remember one of the first exercises that you get us to do in the program is looking at about 10 or 12 aspects of your life. And I remember looking at this and you're saying, rate these things out of 10. And it's health, it's your relationship, your social life, your career, even your finances. And I just remember going, oh, I can't put very high numbers on most of these. Nothing really was going all that well. So that was a real light bulb at the start to go, yeah, there's definitely some work to do here. But going through the exercises and doing some reflection, doing a lot of journaling, getting everything out of my brain and onto the page, I remember having a moment towards the end and it was like, no one's coming. There is no one coming to fix you or help you or get you through this and look after you. You have to do it yourself. I can only rely on me to make a change and get through. So that was a real moment for me. And I think when I look back to my younger years, really, really difficult times. I literally just wanted someone to scoop me up in a hug and tell me everything was going to be fine. Some times of massive sort of uncertainty. And yeah, that was literally the journey. And having that light bulb and go, yeah, okay, well, I have to do this now. It's just me. And with the support of yourself and through the program, definitely got to a really lovely place at the end of the course. It has 100% been transformational. I could keep talking about this for another 20 minutes, you know.
Oh, God. I love that. I love that. That's been your experience with it because it's a really big journey. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a big thing because what essentially you sort of just alluded to is when you have to do that task about rating those areas in your life, you are essentially sometimes for some people, for the first time being totally honest with yourself of where it's at.
Oh, yeah, things that I'd sort of brushed under the carpet. I'm like, actually, I've got some health issues going on I need to address. I just haven't prioritized that. And so, of course, I have, and I feel so much better. Just, and that's just one of those 10 items. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the power of the program is that you have to be honest with yourself, but you're supported during that because sometimes being really honest with yourself is pretty bloody scary. So it's easy to see why we shove that shit under the carpet. But the program is there to be guided through the process of getting real with yourself so that you can be the best part of yourself rather than sit in the shit of just waiting for someone to come and help you.
Yeah, there's no more pity parties anymore. It's like, right, how do we fix this? What needs to change? What can I do to make this different? And, you know, I've left jobs that just didn't work for me. I'm like, actually, I don't enjoy this environment. It's not working for me. I'm going to go somewhere else. And
Did you think that? Oh, sorry, Ted, go for it.
there's no guilt. There's no thinking around and around and around. It's like, no. the priorities are in the right order now, and I don't need to work somewhere where I'm not happy. So, see you later.
So you have learnt basics. So really, would that be one of your biggest takeaways in terms of recognizing that what you need is okay and giving yourself the permission to get those needs met, whatever they are?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of, there's the cliches about filling your own cup first so that you can feel for others and putting your own oxygen mask on first. Yeah, that's 100% putting myself higher up the list of priorities. And yeah, before that would have been something that was difficult for me to actually do. I would have had feelings of guilt, and I remember feeling guilty about getting my exercise in, walking home from work in the city, and taking longer in the afternoon before I'd be home looking after my daughter and the family and getting dinner ready. It was half an hour extra time than catching the bus, but that half an hour had some guilt on it because I was taking that extra half an hour for me. But that doesn't happen anymore. Definitely been able to see what I need and make that happen and be fine.
Totally love that. I totally, absolutely love it. So one of the tasks, what was one of the other tasks that you enjoyed in there? Let's give the listeners a little task thing. So it was the assessing. Okay, so let's look at that task really. It's where you start to assess those areas of your life and you realize that they're not great. How do you start then? How did the program help you take action into actually addressing some of those things?
I think it was naturally just realizing I have to put myself higher on the list of all the things. And I'm trying to think of some examples.
Well, actually, that statement in itself is actually really beautiful because you realize that you had to put yourself higher on the list. I think what's important about that is that for me, I look at how do we help people who are listening to this go, yeah, okay, I realize that I put myself on the bottom of the fucking list, but what do I do? So it's now applying it. So what was it that we were learning, or even in your search, maybe it was the thought journal. Because one of the things that we do in the Me, Myself, and I program, and I've changed it slightly since you've done this because of the power of it itself, is the thought journal. So I've made that a live document basically, where rather than you guys used to write it down as a physical journal and then you would upload it, everyone now gets their own Google Drive, and in that Google Drive is the thought document and it's a thought journal and you just add to it. And I think the beauty of this program is that it doesn't just sit there. We actually look at that. That is where we look at, though. That's why you guys uploaded your thought journals. Because what it did for you was dump shit out. But what it did for us is give us a sense of what is going around and around in her thoughts that are impacting this point where she is feeling so unappreciated, but not doing what she needs to do. And it's that guilt factor and working with that to help you push past it. To allow yourself to walk home for that extra half an hour, just to give you that breathing space.
Yeah, well, that was exercise.
Yeah.
You can sit there and go, I'm overweight, I'm not happy with myself, I don't feel attractive, blah, blah, blah. But then actually, it was time, finding that time for me. And all of that stuff's just fallen into place very easily.
Well, I think when guilt comes into anything, it's almost like a little block that stops the flow. So because you end up fighting against the very thing you need. What you needed was to give yourself time. Guilt would say, no, you don't deserve time. Everybody else has to time. And that's part of what the program works through, is these blockages of whatever they are. Some people have a blockage of guilt. Some people have a blockage of shame. It's helping you to unpack what's my blockage and move the block So that when, and like when it says it flows into free, flows really well, simply because you move the block and go, actually, I can work that. This is what I want for my health. I can do that. And then you just do it.
Yeah, like it's so funny. I'm literally, I've got weights just sitting here in the theater room, and I'm like trying to, get through all my reps, and then I'm like putting the boiling water on, and then I do a rep, and I go back and I put the 2 minute noodles in for Casey. She's calling out to me, "Mom, I need help." I'm like in the Lego, and then I'm like, I'm just like, this is so not how anybody else would ever do exercise. But then I've got a workout into the day, which I wouldn't have like gone and to a gym for an hour ever. Like I'll never step foot in the gym. But it's like, oh my God, I can fit this in.
I think one of the things I hear from that then is that one of the areas that MMI helped you with was to let go of perfection, because
Oh,
there
yes.
is no perfection around, I'm just going to lift weights while I'm sticking the noodles in the microwave.
So not
Right?
me. Like I've let like I don't scrub my shower very often, like, and I just don't care. And it's not like a lazy thing. It's like my time is serving me better doing other things right now.
Absolutely.
The shower scrub is not a priority.
And that's the thing with feeling unappreciated. It can be a lot of things that shows up. Feeling unappreciated can feel like, yes, you're the one doing everything, but it goes into more than that. What do you think there are some of the things that you recognize that look like unappreciation? How did you know? Because when we first started working, that wasn't the word we used.
No, I just felt like no one could see how hard I was working. No one's giving you a pat on the back, or no one's saying, "Let me help."
Yeah,
Like,
actually, one of the words that sticks with me that I remember you saying a lot was unsupported, not
yes.
being supported. My partner's not supporting me. My family's not supporting me.
Yeah, definitely my family still to this day. It really bugs me, but again, it's never going to change. So it's like, taking what I can get, sort of thing. And then it's also for me, okay, that village isn't as big as I'd like it to be. So who can I pay, or what can I do? Like, yeah, I had a cleaner for a while when Casey was small, which was good. It was hard in a way because I'd also have to try and be at home and occupy her and not make a mess for a few hours. And
Yeah.
that was stressful. So yeah, it's sort of looking at your resources and going, how can I shuffle things around and make it work, and what sort of services and stuff can come into the mix. But yeah, I definitely remember how it sort of showed up at work is I had some confusion around what my actual salary was because they changed the way that they talked, they summarized the package or whatever. And I was only doing 3 days a week. So obviously it's a percentage of a full-time equivalent number. And I remember getting an income statement at the end of the tax year, and I'm just looking at it going, this can't be right. This just seems so low. That is just not enough money for the effort and extra work that I've been putting in. And that was just a huge wake-up call. I was like, this is just not enough. That really, really hurt. That was a really funny way that that feeling unappreciated showed up, because I was just like, yeah,
And so,
this
how
is
did you manage that? How did you manage that then after
yeah, I didn't
that?
manage that. I think I sort of stopped putting in so much because I sort of was like, all the times when I'd be trying to quickly do something on my laptop and ignoring my daughter, that's just so didn't sit well. And then things changed even worse. And I was like, instead of doing like more the tasks that were at my level, or sort of doing more basic things and just helping someone and doing their grunt work. And then I was just like, I've had enough. It's time to go.
Right, so what you did, so really, if I look at that, so to provide sort of some insight on managing how to feel unappreciated in your life, things that you do, and what Teresa's telling us is that you created boundaries.
Yeah.
Basically, you set some very clear boundaries with yourself. and then you made changes within it. You either pulled back on the effort you were putting in, not to go, you know, fuck you all, but to go, hang on a minute, this is taking the piss and I need to, I've got more things in my life than just work. And then the other boundary I hear that you created was that you just said, I'm done, I'm changing jobs, and you change positions. And I remember when you did it, and it was really powerful for you to step into those boundaries. But there's a few things that go in there. One is that you just accept where you are,
yeah,
and then acknowledge that this is not okay for you and create boundaries around how you change it.
Yeah, and then on the job search for the next thing, I was really sort of clear about what I definitely wanted and what I definitely didn't want. So that set me up for a bit more.
Right, so you had all the clarity in there. And the and I suppose if we look at that, because this was the beauty of being in the program, when stuff goes wrong in your life, this is the beauty of a 12-week program. It's working with somebody. When something goes wrong, there's guidance to help you manage those feelings, because most times you can't. Well, I said to you, so how did you manage that? Well, I don't know. How do you manage that? You do manage it because you're guided through. And sometimes it's the language. You don't necessarily know the language of boundaries, but that is exactly what you put in place. So you are more than 18 months on from when you completed MMI. So how does life look for you now?
So definitely looking back to all those things that I struggled to give that just didn't feel, that felt like 2 or 3 or 4 out of 10. Everything has changed. Multiple jobs have changed. Relationships are better. I'm a much more calm and present parent. I hardly ever get to a point of being really triggered and frustrated and overwhelmed and angry anymore. That just is so rare. I mean, things still pop up, and of course you still go, oh my goodness, if that happens one more time, of course you still, you know,
you're not a robot. Yeah, no. You're still going to get ticked off.
But when things come up, you go, oh, I actually really handled that, or that didn't ruffle me, or, you know, this totally inappropriate, unjustified thing popped up, but, you know, that's not my problem. I can't control that. Yeah, sort of having a bit more of that perspective, and it's just a more peaceful life.
God, you could buy and bottle that. You bloody love it, don't you? A peaceful life. That's the thing, I think. And part of the task in terms of thought journaling and the live thought journaling is that that's what that task is designed for, because the chatter in the mind is what creates a lot of non-peace. And when you can help maintain that and get more peace and perspective, that's worth its weight in gold. So how would you say MMI has supported you or continued to support you in achieving your long-term goals, and what do you envision for yourself moving forward?
I think there's a big part of it where I can speak up and advocate for myself and sort of recognise, you know, okay, coming back to work, actually, no, this isn't working, or yeah, it's sort of having a bit more of that clarity. And then the conversations with my partner are a lot different now, where it's like almost like a business meeting, like, right, what are we trying to do? Where are we trying to get to? What's got to, you know, what travel or, you know, work overtime is coming up? Like, how are we going to get through that? What do we need to put in place? It sounds a bit strange, but yeah, a bit more of a business approach, looking at it and what do we need, and especially both of us having no family here in Perth. Yeah, we just sort of come at it together. We're on the same page, working together as a team. Who needs to do pickup? Who needs to do drop off? And it's sort of like, yep, we've got this. It's not a
beautiful
or an argument, or there's no, yeah, sort of resentment or anything now. It's just a lot easier than it used to be.
It's more collaborative, and part of that is because when you have the ability to have those conversations with your partner, that are more based on factual, they don't get so personal. And so the emotion is removed so much where you don't feel resentful and unappreciated. You can actually look at it, like you said, from a business perspective in terms of, right, this is what we've got. How do we manage it? So you learn to adapt and accept where you are and put in place things that work for you.
Yeah, it's working really well.
I love it. Okay, so you are aware that we keep the cohorts for our MMI very intimate to allow everyone to be supported through the program. How do you think this has contributed to your success and growth within the program and beyond?
I think an important thing to mention is the people that you go through this journey with. Those people are still a big part of my life, and we have this really beautiful connection where we haven't known each other a long time, but we know each other very well. And those people are some of my biggest supporters, and it's just really nice to have that, to have people there that have your back and celebrate your wins and catch up for a coffee or a cocktail. It's lovely.
So then ultimately, what I'm hearing is that MMI gave you exactly what you wanted, which was somebody to support you.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
Support group. I love that.
You don't have to explain because they know, because they've been on the road with you.
They understand the language. They understand what you want. They allow you to just be you.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, and finally, for listeners who might be considering signing up for MMI, what advice would you offer them?
You're 1,000% going to feel better with some perspective and like a bird's eye view on how things are going. And it won't be a change overnight, but definitely 6 months on, 12 months on, 18 months on, positive benefits are still flowing. So I would recommend it to anyone.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Oh, you're welcome. I've loved working with you independently, but your group, especially, I mean, the groups that have been through MMI, they're always still a part of my life, you know, like, and this is the thing, where I might have seen you guys individually before, that actually doesn't happen anymore. And that's the purpose of therapy, isn't it? To be able to let go of having to come in all the time to say, V, this has been going on. It's not that you can't come back, it's that you didn't have to. But when you need to, you know that there are people around us, but that's the whole purpose of it. So I totally love working with you, and I love listening to how you've grown and evolved since completing MMI and how it's made an impact on so many different areas of your life. So thank you very much for being a part of this.
Thank you for the wonderful work that you do.
Great. Now, a reminder, the waitlist for Me, Myself and I Mastery Program is open until this Friday. That's Friday the 16th of February. And if you are on the waitlist, you will get access to a juicy discount. Seriously, if MMI is at all on your radar, get on the waitlist to access this epic early bird deal. And also a reminder, we cap numbers for this program to ensure everyone gets the attention and support they require. So getting yourself on the wait list also increases your chances of securing your place in the program. The link to the wait list is in the show notes. So get your name on there ASAP because doors open next week. That is a wrap for today's episode of Not Your Average Counselor. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review this show. Your feedback goes a long way in assisting others to discover this info. So help me continue to help more people by providing your input. And while you're at it, don't stop there. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and on your social media. Don't forget to tag me at @VVincyTherapist. Also, I love hearing your feedback and takeaways, so DM me, my inbox is always open. If you're interested in hearing more about the Me, Myself and I Mastery Program 2.0, I'm currently putting the final touches on it. The waitlist is open, so when all will be revealed, you will be the first to know all the deets And by being on the wait list, you get access to a significant discount as well. So if you are at all interested, put yourself on the wait list. It really is a high touch, high impact experience, and to ensure that it remains that way, I cap participant numbers. More info in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a good one.